Feel Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Dustbin lid. When he finds out the things you did, you'll get a belt from your dad. Oh, you have your father's nose, so crimson in the dark it glows. If you're not asleep when the boozers close, you'll get a belt from your dad. You look so scruffy lying there, strawberry jam tucks in your hair. Though in the world you haven't a care, and I have got so many. It's quite a struggle every day, living on your father's pay. The bugger drinks it all away and leaves me without any. Although we have no silver spoon, better days are coming soon. Now Nellie's working at the loom, and she gets paid on Friday. Perhaps one day we'll have a splash, when little Woods provides the cash. We'll get a house in Naughty Ash and buy your dad a brewery.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Perfect product. I wanna thank you for writing it down. I want $100 bill in the palm of my hand, just like I'm meant to, for honing my skill. I wanna get wet, get paid, get upset again. And in my mind's eye, I can't control this habit. To decide if I will let you have it. I wanna thank you for writing it down. to for honing my skill. I wanna get wet, get paid, get upset. Though I'm grateful for you play my song. Don't want an algorithmic hell to judge my soul from someone's basement or swimming pool when the music turns to data driven cold. I wanna get wet, get paid, get upset again.
Good evening, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, home of the Backroom, 6 till 7, the best in new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk. Packed show for you tonight. I've got some special guests on the show. I caught up with Matt and Simon from the Samurai 7. They are back after 25 years with a cracking new single. We're talking about their journey in music, including the Peel Sessions back in the 90s and playing the new track. And I also caught up with Colin McIntyre, Mull Historical Society, to talk about his new album, collaborative album with world best authors. It's called In My Mind There's a Photograph. So all that's coming up, plus the music news, plus the National Gig Guide and new album releases. Wet Leg.
Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Hey, this is Chris from Less Than Jake, and you are listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes!
Hello, this is Matt Elders from Arts and Monkey. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
New music on the Back Room. Future sounds.
We'll be right back.
lizard from the abyss. He's a funny guy, he'll greet you with a kiss. The bigger joke, the real tough thing that it is. Your bosom mates, you've loved him since you were kids. He'll suck your blood and hang you out to dry. The little things you fall for every time. You let him in the wooden, he's divine. He knows you love a little flash of that smile. You've gotta get out, you've gotta get out. He'll chew you up and spit you out. He's wicked man, a goddamn lizard man.
They're called Man, Woman, Chainsaw from London, and that is called Lizard Man. They're going to be playing the Float Along Festival in Sheffield, September the 26th, amongst bands like Sprints and White Lies and Warm Dusha. And before that, great remix from Wet Leg, Catch These Fists, the FDC DJ remix. You listen to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. This is the Back Room, and let's talk about this first special guest. They are called the Samurai 7. They formed in 1997. They had a load of John Peel sessions. They released a debut album in the early 2000s called A Sport. But they went away, had a hiatus, and they're back after 25 years. They've come back with this track. It's called Punching Down. And I'll be talking to them straight after this.
With no a pleasure to welcome Matt and Simon from the Samurai 7 on a very hot evening. Sheffield Live to Backroom. Welcome, guys. How are you managing with this beautiful heat at the moment?
It's lovely, isn't it? I don't want to complain.
Glorious.
Yeah, but we do complain, don't we? Because we go, we want the weather and it gets too hot. And then it's like, too hot now.
And then it gets cold. Our house hasn't got air conditioning. I don't know if that your house has, but
yeah, but it's lovely.
When we hit our first million,
that'll be it. You're not far off, I'm sure. Guys, it's great to have you back because you know this. We're going to go back to kind of 1997, and this, you know, this is your first music in 25 years. You're back with a new single called "Punching Down." It's a great record. Really, really enjoying it.
Thank you so
quite
much.
Quite a lot of there's a lot of messages in that song. I would say. Tell me about this record. How would you describe it?
We split up in about 2000. Well, not long after we did our first album called The Sport in about 2001, and so we were out of the game for a long time. And when we came back, we just really enjoyed each other's company, and the music was still sounding really great. Sorry, I'm banging the table, and it wasn't really. We were just enjoying playing the music that we'd done before, and I wasn't really clear about whether or not I write the songs. Whether I, what am I going to write about now? I used to write songs about frustrating relationships and like kitchen sinky nonsense, and now I'm married with two kids and life's quite good, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to write songs about. But actually, if you zoom away from my own immediate environs and look at what else is going on in the world, there's quite a lot to be frustrated or unhappy about, and I need to be frustrated about something to write music. I don't think anyone wants to hear songs about people being happy.
I think there's room for that.
As Pharrell has proved.
Well, that's a fair point. So Punching Down is kind of about that kind. For me, it's about the division that's being stoked. Yeah. Between all of us struggling with austerity and difficult economic times, and we're being encouraged to like squabble amongst each other by all this division is being driven by billionaires who are running away with all our money right now. So
absolutely
about saying actually there's more that unites us all in the country despite how it might feel than it might appear. And we may need to look at the people who are really to blame for taking all our money and making our lives more difficult.
And also, I think, it's very easy for people to complain about a lack of community or what have you. And, people should look up from their smartphones and their tablets and their laptops, stop spending quite so much time online and actually look up and around them and connect with their fellow human beings. Because, as Simon said, there's a lot more that unites us and divides us, and it's about hope. It's about being optimistic. We're told somehow that Britain's broken and it's all gone rubbish again. And I don't, life's always been difficult and very difficult for some people. But I think to be told that actually starts to erode people's sense of their hope and optimism for the future. And I think there is a lot to be optimistic about. So hold your head up, look up, don't be defeated. I think it's about optimism, really.
But it's also a 3-minute pop song.
And you got a lot in there.
Loads of harmonies, which is what we love to do. So it's really fun. It feels like we might be lecturing people and being like Bono, and it's not like that, hopefully. But it's a lot of fun to play, and been going down really well. So
it's brilliant. And hope is, I'm absolutely kind of connecting with that. I think, and going back to 1997, when there were no fans, you could look around more, couldn't you? And I think, the world was different. It was a great time for music. And, you were popular with, like legends of radio broadcasters like Steve Lamacq, like John Peel. Yeah. Even had a theme to the John Peel Sound of the Suburbs TV program, didn't you? '98 or something like that. And
So we recorded because we were featured on the television series. It was called Sound of the Suburbs. We went down so well that they asked us to do the theme tune. I sound like Dennis Waterman, don't I? so that was a lot of fun. And then we had a series of in-stores and television appearances and stuff that went with that. So that was quite exciting too. But I mean, John Peel was such a nice guy, really genuine. He was genuinely interested in bands. I think there are people in the sort of industry who sort of present an appearance of being interested in bands. But I think he genuinely realised that when you did a session and you got reasonable fees for doing it, that's what be your van hire and your t-shirt production and your studio time and that, you know, your guitar strings and popcorn and peanuts and all that kind of nonsense. So I think he realized that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he was absolutely genuine, even Steve Lamacq up to now, and he's still doing it. In fact, I was at an indie weekender in Skegness a few weeks ago, and Steve Mac was in the supermarket in front of me. And I didn't know what to do because I thought, oh, can I ask a photo? He's in the supermarket buying bread, so I left him to it. But
photo of his bread. But I mean, his autobiography is called Going Deaf for a Living or something like that.
I think so. Yeah,
because it's such a brilliant title because it really represents the value that him and John Peel and you and everyone involved around the outside of a music industry value, you know, brings. Because without people like that, bands like us can't achieve anything. So, you know,
radio will always be here as well. And you worked with Hugo Nicholson as well, didn't you? Who's a big Grammy producer, worked with the likes of people like Radiohead and Primal Scream, people like that and stuff. How do you get to work with him?
So that was through a guy that I played in a few bands in between the Samurai Seven's first flush and now. And so, you know, I've got some good friends from that. And so there's a friend of mine called Stuart who turned us on to Hugo. And, you know, it's great working with people who, or someone who's, you know, been around the block and, you know, earned their stripes and had a lot of experience of working on, you know, great records and successful records. So the pre-production stage of that for us was really useful. I mean, it's as the songwriter, I found it's a challenging situation because obviously what I really want is for a producer to say this song is perfect and it doesn't need anything, sure. But you also want it to be better. So it's a great experience, and you know. But what's really nice is the songs are going down well when we play it. The recordings have been achieved, so you know that's the proof of the pudding, really.
Yeah, and it's the original lineup, right? And And you've all stayed kind of, obviously there's been kind of a long hiatus from that time. But, you know, have you all remained friends? Have you all kind of gone off and done things? Have you all kind of kept in touch over that time?
Well, Matt's my brother, so we're stuck with
him. Yeah, you're stuck together.
we're the blessing and the curse. So we, you know, we've always stayed in touch. But also, you know, Jimmy lives, the bass player, he lives very close. I see a lot of him. In fact, I met my wife through the lady that became his wife. So we're kind of in
contact. Okay.
And Chris, the drummer, you know, we've always stayed in contact with. So it's been really nice. We got together more as, I think it was it post-COVID or during COVID? We got together socially as a four. We'd sort of, in, you know, as you know, pairs and everything before then. Mm. But yeah, and we realized we hadn't spent time together as a four, and we just got on well, but it felt like the next stage was to do so in a rehearsal room, and kind of that's how it happened. But the building blocks to sort of being able to do this now is you've got to enjoy each other's company first, and we really do. There's a venue in Oxford that's long since closed called The Point, and there used to be some graffiti in the ladies' toilets that said the Samurai Seven kiss each other's bits. So we got on quite well. It's not true. How do they know?
Is that going to become a song title?
That's the album. That's the album.
You got it right there.
Always got on well, and you know. But the other thing was when we started rehearsing together, there's like a muscle memory thing that clicked in. We used to do so many gigs on the first round.
You toured relentlessly around that time, didn't you?
was a lot. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It gave me lots of material about frustrating relationships that, because we were always away. While we're getting on and while the music's good or we're enjoying the music, then we'll do it somehow. But what's been really nice is the public response has been really enthusiastic. You know, the music's going down well, especially the new music. So, we're really enjoying it so far. And while that continues, I guess we'll.
And for me, you know, I remember when we first got in the rehearsal room together in 1997, and Jimmy was, I think our bass player was the last one sort of to join, and we plugged in and started playing. And within moments, it felt like magic, a sort of chemistry. Yes. And that remains now. That's the amazing thing, is that, and that's why the original four is really strong. It's such a joy to do it, because the songs, Simon writes the songs, but I'm a fan of the songs as much as I play them, and I love that, and I love the sound that we make together, and it's been a real joy to be in the same room and to be closer with one another again.
Yeah, we're like four little funny shaped jigsaw pieces that somehow there's like
fit this nicely. Yeah,
and we're all quite different, and I think that can bring its own challenges. But actually, if I was in a band with someone exactly like me, it would be a nightmare. So it's quite nice, those differences. Yeah. Nice.
And it's a long time out. You know, it's obviously you're in a different life, aren't you now? And it's like it will feel different. And you've got some gigs coming up. So you've got a few gigs over kind of May, Oxford Bullingdon, which is a single launch tour. On 29th of May, this is going to kick it off. So nice hometown gig to kick it off with.
In Liverpool on the Saturday the 30th and Sunday the 31st. Yep. And then we've got more that I can't quite remember.
Well, yeah, we do. So
you've got a few scattered around, haven't you? And there's a Riverside Festival, which I think is
really as well. So yeah, that can be amazing. Yeah.
That's a local festival that's free to attend and run entirely by
brilliant. Them.
So it's kind of the way that a non-corporate, the way that a festival, kind of like a good festival, should be. So we'll look forward to that. And hopefully
you must
be field and who knows where else.
Hopefully you must be excited to just get back on stage again and play. And
yes. Yeah, it's nice being in the studio, but I think our natural environment is the stage, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So which brings me nicely onto, what the plans after that. So...
Well, a good question. So we've got Punching Down is coming out. It depends when this interview is being aired. Friday, 29th. We've got another single coming out in 6 weeks, 2 months after that. And then after that, it'll be, and then hopefully, I'll be writing more material and then getting that out. I can't quite confirm it now, but there's quite an exciting tour that's coming up towards the end of the year as well.
Oh, amazing.
We'll have to come back on when that's been confirmed. Yes.
Absolutely. And just think about Sheffield. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That'll take us much
closer to Sheffield. I think Sheffield to Liverpool is probably a bit of a trek for the weekend, but it's probably doable. I mean, we're traveling further to get there.
it's doable. Matt Simon, like, absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Samurai 7, good to have you back. Really good to
have you
back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Good luck with everything. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
New music on the back room. Future Sounds.
new from Embrace, and from Avalanche, their ninth year album is out tomorrow, and that is called Up In Your Feelings at 6:33. You listen to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, and I'm going to make a very special announcement because there's a whole range of listeners on this show, but my oldest listener, I think probably my oldest listener and the closest listener, is Peter Vesey, otherwise known as my dad. 90th birthday, 9 decades, and he loves this music. I'm pretty sure he listens week in, week out. So very happy 90th birthday, Dad, and this is for you.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Days that seem dark and long, where the job is getting you down. So you shut your eyes and you think back to the game. Big Mick Sauce is banging his chest. Tierney brings us back from the dead. And the last McLean shot is hanging in the air. This is Scotland, where everybody knows you start with nothing. This is Scotland, where you can join an army that's for peace. We love football when Florida is coming to Miami. We love football. We've got another tango with Brazil.
And Sebastian, they've done a football song. It's World Cup time. It only takes one lion. Going to be chatting to Colin McIntyre from Mull Historical Society. Caught up with him. I'm going to be playing that very soon. But before that, let's do some music news.
Music news.
And see what's going on. Motorhead have announced their 7th Lemmy Forever ceremony, taking place at Download 2026, and will house Movers Ashes permanently in Manchester after the festival. The iconic Motorhead singer and bassist, who considered to be one of the most influential figures in metal history, died in December 15. For years now, there's been a tribute to him at Download Festival, following from that heavy metal icon playing there 2005, 2008, 2010 and 2013, and always joining Slash on stage in 2013. And now with the 2026 edition just days away from opening, festival organisers have confirmed that fans once again gather to celebrate Lemmy at the site. Mick Jagger, he surprised fans in Oxford by playing an impromptu gig with students at a local pub. The Rolling Stones frontman touched the stage at the Half Moon in St. Clement's over the weekend, performing as part of the pub's weekly folk session. He was in attendance with his partner, former American ballerina Melanie Hamrick, and there were guests of Oriel
College. That's the music news. Still got the gig guide to come, new album releases. I'm going to be chatting to Colin McIntyre straight after this. Let's play one of his singles, In My Mind, There's a Photograph. This is featuring Irvin Welsh of Trainspotting fame. This is Dopamine Eyes.
To me, it's the very first one of us, my wife, Pam, and me together, before we knew each other, and falling in love beneath the mask, without the dopamine smash, and in the MBIs, and in the MBIs, they do not tell us lies, we will trust that dopamine. Falling in love under the mask, I still carry driver's guilt.
So, a pleasure to welcome Colin McIntyre, Mull Historical Society. Welcome to this back room on Sheffield Live. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Paddy. Nice to be back with you. Yeah, things are fine. Busy, but that's good.
Busy. And yeah, I was just thinking, yeah, we met eight years ago when you had Wakeline, the Greystones in Sheffield Pub, which was an awesome gig.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed memory. That. I've always good memories of Sheffield from day one, really, you know, just playing, you know, the Lead Mill and loads of early tours with Elbow. I remember the Strokes tour I did, 25 years ago. And I remember that coming through Sheffield and just lots of fun nights. You know, we always seemed to park the tour bus outside the Lead Mill just when there was a student night about to happen, you know, or after the gig, you know, and you had a night off, or it just was always, but such a great musical heritage there. So I've always enjoyed the city. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a lovely, yeah. I'm pretty biased on this city, but I've been here a long time, but music runs through the veins of Sheffield, I think.
Yeah.
And I think people feel it will come through. You've got a new album, a new collaborative album. It's out now. It's in My Mind, There's a Photograph. It's the second collaborative series of this album. It's an amazing idea. So there's lots of writers on it, a bundle of writers on there.
Yeah.
Lyrical contributors from all world-leading kind of authors mixed with the music. Tell me, Colin, how this came up. Because you're a man with lots of ideas here. So
Yeah. So I'm also an author, you know, so if I'd, I also have just had my fifth book out. So it's also the second in a series. It's Mull Mysteries book, which is a crime series set on Mull, as you'd imagine, as the title sort of implies. But so as an author, I've always been, and obviously musician kind of before that, or first, if you like. So I was interested in sort of joining those worlds together. And and also been a bit of a control freak, and here we are at my 10th album, but I've always written and recorded, written the songs myself. So I was interested in that kind of thing of how Elton works with Bernie, and that thing of working with someone else's words. And so those were, I suppose, I've always been just things that I've wanted to do, to work with authors. I'm probably just as interested or even more interested in authors than musicians, to be honest, you know, in terms of process. And I've had to kind of learn, talking of being on the tour bus over the years, I've sort of learned, schooled myself in writing, you know, in terms of short story writing and on tour. And so it was always an ambition. But yeah, that's kind of how the collaborations come around. This album is In My Mind There's a Photograph. And the first in the series, a couple of years ago, was In My Mind There's a Room. So I can say all that, but the real reason this has happened is because my grandfather was on the Isle of Mull, where I'm from, as Mull Historical Society, you know, where I'm named after. Sure. My grandfather was the island's bank manager for about 30 years, but always the resident poet, and he was known as the Bard of Mull, and he lived above the bank on Top Maury Main Street. Some of you who have kids will know it as Ballymorey, the coloured houses and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where that's where I'm from. And he was an amazing character. You know, he's a poet by night, banker by day, but living above the shop, parties every night upstairs, you know, people coming up would leave with an overdraft and a poem stuffed in their pocket, you know, so and the reason I mention all this is because these rooms that they lived in for 50 years were part of my childhood, a huge part of my childhood, and they were turned into a recording studio about 4 years ago by a mate back home in Mull. You could have knocked me over, you know, when it's just, you know, the bank flat, as it's called, has been out of the family for maybe 20 years. So I hadn't been back in those rooms, and he said, I would love you to come up and make a noise. So I thought, well, I'm getting to go and record in these significant rooms to me. I mean, what's the chances my grandparents' house or flat has turned into a recording studio? So I'm going to get to record in these significant rooms. So I'm going to ask some of my favorite authors, who were Ian Rankin, Val McDermid, Nick Hornby, Sebastian Barry, Irish Booker winner, who I've loved for years, if they would give me words on a significant room to them that I go and record back home. Now, that was what happened. I finished the album at Abbey Road, so I got to go back, you know, I got to go to even more significant rooms for me as a kid. Not even more, but, you know, as a kid growing up in Mull, I was pretty, you know, I was quite Beatles obsessed at some point. So here we are, jump forward 2 years, and I thought, well, I'm going to keep this kind of this thing going. So it's In My Mind There's a Photograph now. So as you rightly said at the start, it's a whole new list of 12 authors, from Irvin Welsh to Alexander McCall Smith to Ye Yun Lee, who's a Chinese American Pulitzer Prize winner, to a range of authors, Ali Smith, and a significant photograph in their life.
Yes.
And words and stories, you know, that I can use to morph into lyrics. And that's been the collaboration. So it's sort of, I would never have known this was going to happen, but now it just feels like I've also enjoyed it creatively. It kind of pushes me, challenges me, you know, after making a few albums, it's quite nice to do something new. So that's kind of to describe to folks, you know, where it's come from and what it is.
Yeah. It feels like it's all kind of a natural development and evolving, really, is, you know, I think.
Yeah,
and do you find writing music and as an author writing, is one particularly easier than the other? Or
That's a good question. I mean, it's I think writing songs is something I've done since I was probably, you know, seven, eight years of age. I was, my uncle's on Mull on the other side of the family with Island's Plumbers, and they had a covers band throughout my youth that played all these amazing songs that I thought were theirs, but were actually by people called Bob Dylan and Neil Young and Bachman Turner Overdrive and the Beatles. and so music was kind of there. And so music's quite an instinctive thing. But I would say, as I mentioned earlier, kind of that development as an author in the last, you know, 15 years, I've been published author since 2015. So that's something that's come more recently. But to me, to answer your question, they're kind of connected, you know, because it's all storytelling. So it's all connected. And I would say songs to me are kind of quite instinctive. Writing books feels like you've got a big lump of granite and you just start sculpting away, and what is in there? And I'm not a sculptor, but that's kind of how I imagine it. But really, I feel it all comes from the same place, and that feels good. That whenever it feels authentic in terms of a, you know, plot line or character idea or book idea, as long as that feels to me like it sort of feels like it's coming from the same place as a song, then, you know, I think, okay, there's something for me to get my teeth into here. You know, when I first wrote the song Mull Historical Society, I was back home on the island in a uni break.
Yeah.
I was at Glasgow trying to get into the Glasgow music scene, you know, Snow Patrol, Belle and Sebastian, all the, you know, Teenage Fan Club, you know, getting in amongst all these bands. And I remember going back home and seeing a poster for the Mull Historical Society that were meeting in the hall that I'd grown up playing in Tobermory, and didn't even know they existed, this organisation. But from that, I wrote the song and then decided to call myself that. So, but there was something in them, and I was studying Orwell at the time, so back to writing authors. So I was able to kind of imagine them as this Orwellian organisation running the island. Of course, they weren't, but 25 years on, you know, that. But the point I'm making is when you feel you can get something to really get your teeth into that feels authentic, and there's something that feels real in the storytelling, then that's something that I've always tried to trust over the years. So whether it's books or songs, you know, it feels like as long as I feel I can trust that, then I've got something to work with.
Yeah. It's brilliant. I've been listening to the album. Like, there's so many great tracks on it. The new track, Dopamine Eyes, with lyrics from Irvin Welsh, and yeah, I've been playing that one recently. I really love the album, and I'm really kind of curious, kind of how this is kind of, you're going to go on tour very soon, actually. In fact, you're playing London on this Thursday at the St. Pancras Old Church, and then you're heading out through June and September.
That's right.
How's this?
Hebden Bridge. I think I'm getting to close somewhere near you. Yeah, but I'm in September.
Manchester. I think Hebden
Manchester.
Bridge,
yeah,
the Trades Club, which is a great venue, on the 11th. Yeah, and Manchester St. Michael's on the 17th.
And
it's going to be really exciting, isn't it? You've got stories, you've got readings, Q&A, special guests.
Yeah. So some of the authors may join, I think. How I interpret, I'm doing an evening with Mull Historical Society. So it's the first time I've sort of done shows. I mean, I have at literary festivals combined, you know, words and music, but I suppose, and I've done, you know, readings at my gigs, but these are shows that I'm going to do where, it's just trying to weave in this. I'm sitting here now with a set list scribbled in front of me and thinking, okay, what readings go there? I had a memoir out 2019, a memoir which I was writing at the same time as the Wakelines album when we last spoke, I think. So I'm sort of I'm trying to find those threads of stories and how to make it seem just like a journey live. So that's what I'm thinking of for the shows. It's also 25 years since my debut Loss at the end of this year. And so I'm going to be performing that album in its entirety early next year, so I really hope I'll be landing right in Sheffield for that. That's what these shows are going to be, the current ones for June and September, you know, just kind of combining music with some readings. I'm actually doing a Q&A, you know, I mean, I'm just sort of thinking, well, you know, I think of the fan base as the society, really, you know, so these are my kind of annual general meetings, you know, around the country and any other business. That's what I'm doing, and then, you know, more shows off the back of that.
Brilliant, Colin. It's so exciting.
Thank you, Paddy. And just to say, the Dopamine Eyes one, that's the single with Irvin Welsh, that's the current single, and the, if anyone's interested, they can look up mullhistoricalsociety.com. You'll see all the authors' photographs. They're actually all montaged onto my face, onto my mug. And his one, when Irvin's came through, it was quite succinct in the way you might imagine Irvin would be. It was like, and he had this phrase, he said basically his photograph, which folk will be able to search for, is him standing with who was a stranger at the time, a female, and they're both in face masks. So it's during lockdown. There's a big blue sky above them. I think they're on a beach. And it's actually, he doesn't really know how he has it. Well, he obviously took it, but it's the first picture of he and his now wife. And they met in lockdown. And of course, you know, he said you had to get to know each other almost through the eyes and through socially distancing walks and stuff. So he talked about a great Irvin Welsh kind of phrase. It sounds like something out of Trainspotting. He said to me, we had to get to know each other in a way that was kind of separate from the dopamine smash, or from the, you know, the way you normally physically connect. Or and I thought when he said that, I thought, oh, that's the title, or Dopamine Eyes. You know, so it's really, that's the words are really lifted from his story of meeting his now wife Emma during those conditions. And it also features London African Gospel Choirs, because since I was a kid, I was obsessed with Paul Simon's Great Gracelands, and I finally got my African choir on the album, you know. So they provided quite an uplifting kind of rush to the recording as well.
Yeah, it's all powerful stuff, isn't it, really? And I think,
thank you. Yeah, it's Paddy. Sort of, you know, some of them are, there's a song, Gaza on My Back, which is Jihan Desai, who's aid worker and Gaza poet. And I heard her speaking and just thought, I was at that point of looking, or, you know, thinking about this next record and thinking about the authors, and reached out, she came back saying she was up for it. And so her words are, you know, they're all powerful in the album, but there's some on there that really have taken me into an area that I feel, you know, hopefully provide just a little bit of hope, understanding, empathy in a pretty fractured world we're living in, you know. So it's been fun to make, but it's also, there's some stories there that you felt were really quite powerful to work with in the studio, you know, and to try and deliver.
Yeah.
So that's the scope of the album, yeah.
Brilliant. Colin, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. I'm loving the album. Good luck with it all. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you.
I'll try and get down to Hebden Bridge.
Friday night. So, yeah, it'd be great. Friday, if you're coming, let me know. That would be great.
Yeah, it'll be lovely to kind of catch this, all these ideas on stage. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Paddy. Thank you.
Cheers.
Where are the heroes? Where are the heroes? Where are the heroes? They're all gone now. My grandfather, he worked the trains. He delivered mail to the tune of their rails. The beat of the loco, the rhythm tracked. Some assault at the junction, he'd be on his back. He knew every postcode and every rail. My grandfather delivered mail. And try to imagine the Great Western. My grandfather was a hero to me. The rails are singing, headlamps glow. My grandfather rides a rail rodeo. And following postcodes, smoking steam. And he was a hero riding through my dreams. He knew every postcode and every rail. My grandfather delivered mail. And try to imagine the Great Western. My grandfather was a hero to me.
Thanks to Colin. That is Where the Heroes from In My Mind. There's a photograph, Albert Mill Historical Society. Let's do some gigs for you.
Local and national gig guide.
Some gigs playing Sheffield this week. Nightmares on Wax at Electric Studios on Friday. On Saturday, Eats Everything at Hangar Warehouse, Magnetic Skies at Network. And then on to Sunday, Val and the Harbours at Sydney and Matilda. And then Tom Rowley at the Hallamshire Hotel. And Sons of Town Hall at the Greystones. Some of the gigs that have been announced, the Mary Wallopers, Edinburgh Corn Exchange on the 13th of October, then going to Newcastle, Cardiff, Brighton, Sheffield Octagon on the 19th of October, then on to Cambridge, Liverpool, Manchester, Nottingham, Leeds, Birmingham, London and Dublin and Glasgow. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9:30. Gold Panda play the ICA in London on the 12th of November, and Westside Cowboy play Newcastle University on the 25th of November and the 29th of November at Birmingham XOYO. They're the gigs. Some new album releases tomorrow. Johnny Orlando, Songs for Young Lovers, is out, and Embrace's ninth studio album, Avalanche. Thanks so much for Colin McIntyre of Mullis Tarkle Society for talking to me on the show. Also to Simon and Matt from the Samurai 7. I'll be back next week with loads of great new music. As always, going to leave you this band. They are called Amelost, and this is Bad Guy. Have a good evening.
You want now, I guess that I rebelled. I know I'm the bad guy in every story that you tell. I know that you're hurting, that's why you're spreading lies. Make yourself feel better, then the blame is always mine. Loved you like a sister. You made me think it was a way.